What's up, everyone, and welcome to the weekly edition of ESG Now, where we cover how the environment, our society, and corporate governance affects and are affected by our economy. I'm your host, Mike DiSebato, and today we are going to talk about Facebook, because by the time you hear this, Facebook has been downgraded by us into laggard territory due to a methodological shift in how we view companies in ESG. And so today, I'm going to talk about the philosophy behind that and Facebook in general. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Stay tuned. We cover tens of thousands of companies, companies with all these individual differences and plans and risks and people, and they all form this complex galaxy that is our economy. And the way we make sense of the physics of this galaxy is through a set of assumptions, or I'll call them rules, rules that govern our worldview. Rule one, you mess with the environment, you eventually are unable to operate at all. Rule two, if you mess with people, you eventually see an erosion of your workforce. And rule three, which is actually the origin rule, if you have ineffective oversight, aka ineffective governance, then you've basically already broken rules one and two. So we are constantly learning new things, and we're always consulting upon, measuring, and studying these rules. And every so often, that leads us to tweak how we measure how effective a company is following these rules or assumptions. It's kind of like a physicist discovering a new element. And recently, we changed how we measure and assess Rule 3. Previously, corporate governance, or Rule 3, was only assessed as being about pay, ownership, board structure, things that are the traditional themes of corporate governance. And we kind of looked at them at an individual level as though they were not that connected, but part of the full picture. But then we thought, why aren't we viewing governance holistically? Why aren't we viewing how companies are actually acting, as well as the mechanisms they have in place that help guide how they act? In a word, we connected how we look at governance and we made it holistic.
How our view has evolved and how the evidence has pointed towards is that this holistic assessment of governance is really the most appropriate way to assess a company's overall governance practices. So when I say holistic, it's really a matter of focusing on the traditional governance factors as well as corporate behavior factors that are closely intertwined with how a company is structured.
That's Cyrus Lotfipor, who is our ratings model guru. We are going to hear more from Cyrus later on about all the changes we made, but first I wanted to provide an example of what these changes did to a company that has been in the spotlight all year, Facebook. Due to our model changes, the ESG rating for Facebook moved from a triple B to a B on a scale of triple A to triple C. And in a non-wonky way, I mean it went from average to a laggard, from decent to kind of meh, which I may be too close to home when I say this, but that's kind of a big deal for us. So as an example of how these governance changes are going to affect our world, I want to break down what happened with Facebook. And to do that, I had to call up Andrew Young, who covers Facebook for us, and I asked him to explain it to me all simple-like. And he told me that it was mainly due to three things that represent the governance changes that we made for the entire model and all the companies that we cover.
Firstly, antitrust falls under this theme. So I'm sure you're familiar with the ongoing scrutiny in the U.S., in the scrutiny in the European Union and beyond, as a result of the company's supposed monopolistic market positions, its advertising business, etc.
I was familiar. And actually, there was a long-bearded Twitter CEO and an odd-haired Facebook CEO that were in front of a Zoom camera talking to the U.S. Congress and trying to explain away any antitrust and anti-competitive allegations this week. And so what happened is we put more weight on these antitrust allegations for Facebook because it's part of how we now view corporate behavior.
The next component is tax transparency. So this is our review of the transparency of the company's tax practices. Of course, a company is entitled to minimize the tax that it pays through tax avoidance, but there is scrutiny about internet companies paying their fair share of taxes in their operating markets. So there's some interest in a multilateral tax solution.
That's right. The problem is Facebook isn't transparent on the taxes it pays because it operates in a bunch of different countries. And one might say they're basically translucent when it comes to their tax allocations or tax payments. Everything tax-wise, they just aren't very clear. And then there's the big one, ethics.
For Facebook, the primary ethical issue is regarding safety on its platforms. And so the scope of the issue, it's massive. The solutions seem far from clear. and the company's demonstrated ability or even willingness to address some of these safety issues is pretty woeful to date.
But ethics sounds a bit more subjective than any of the other qualities. Ethics are more of a philosophy than a hard set rule to be inserted into an equation. So I asked Andrew, why is Facebook and other companies now being assessed on ethics? And how does that assessment pertain to ESG? But I want him to focus first on Facebook, because I'll get into ethics later with Cyrus.
No, it's a good question, because we are all aware that there are issues on the Facebook platform to do with the content, you know, whether it's disinformation, harassment, grooming, exploitation, addiction, you know, all of these issues. But our ESG rating, which looks at companies' ESG performance as it pertains to, or from a financial materiality point of view, then we have to look at what you call the technocratic solutions, because a large threat to these businesses can be regulators and how regulators try to manage these online harms.
For a company like Facebook or Twitter or Google, their capital is earned in this fuzzy ethical line between free speech and content ownership. And they have to deal with issues of propaganda and undue influence on elections, and also data privacy issues and possible espionage. It's a whole massive web that these social media companies can get stuck in. And that web is patrolled by regulators. For example, on the data privacy front, Facebook is currently facing a serious threat by the European Union after it sent a preliminary order to Facebook calling for it to suspend the data transfers of its EU users back to servers in the US for fear of US espionage. But regulators aren't just coming for how Facebook acts with regard to data privacy, they're coming for them because of the other two factors, antitrust and tax. There's a Digital Service Act in the EU that forces big tech companies to share huge troves of customer data with smaller rivals. The draft says that big tech, quote, shall not use data collected on the platform for their own commercial activities unless they make that data accessible to business users active in the same commercial activities. And for taxation, Facebook was sued in February 2020 in the US by the IRS that said Facebook owed them $9 billion USD in unpaid taxes. And so our updated ratings now better consider how governance is connected to these existential risks for Facebook and more fundamentally reflects these societal externalities. But Facebook and social media in general is pretty unique. How does our newly weighted governance theme affect the market at large? Well, to figure that out, I needed to get Cyrus back on here. And since this was the big one for Facebook, I wanted him to first relate the ethics factor to the economy at large. Okay, so Cyrus, I asked Andrew this. Ethics feels like a moral judgment. How can you relate this to an objective view of a company's ESG risks?
Yeah, I mean, if you focus on the ethics part of it, the ethics part of business ethics is, you know, a set of normative principles that are generally expected of individuals. But when we're referring to the business ethics associated with a company, it's more around the internal controls that a company has to oversee the ethical conduct of its employees, because that is ultimately what matters, and that's what these issues are meant to, and that's how these issues materialize for investors, is if there is inadequate internal controls around ensuring the ethical conduct of employees.
So that holistic view is kind of played out for Facebook in for regulations. How is this affecting the market as a whole?
Well, I mean, it kind of goes into our view of having a holistic assessment of governance. I mean, we need to focus on the governance structures that exist. So what kind of organizational structure and foundation has a company set to oversee ethical conduct and ensure against conflicts of interest and to prevent as much as possible those conflicts of interest. But ultimately, we need to have a holistic assessment that considers the governance structures that exist, as well as a historical assessment of how a company has behaved. And with regards to this particular company, when you look at the track record of its involvement in controversies, whether it be, you know, around ethics and fraud issues or anti-competitive practices issues, it all relates back to how does a company set up those structures in the first place to ensure that employees abide by an ethical code of conduct? which ultimately will translate into a regulatory issue, which can then transcend to investors.
Does that holistic view translate to environmental factors and social factors, or are those two ESG risk assessments different than governance entirely?
Environmental and social issues are inherently different from governance issues. I mean, and the primary distinction there is that environmental and social issues are predominantly industry specific. So it's difficult to lump up all environmental issues and treat that holistically for every company, just because, you know, a bank has an entirely different set of environmental issues than a chemical company or a commercial services company, and the same on the social side. But it's governance that is foundational to all companies, and that's why we have a holistic assessment on governance that considers their structures that exist in their board, the pay practices, their ownership and control measures, as well as how has the company behaved and abided by an ethical code of conduct.
And going back to Facebook, Facebook is this company that promised to create a more open and connected world. But its business model is a harvesting model. It extracts value from data that people post freely to other users. Its operations court ethical issues in a very unique way, but it still relies, as all companies do, on the proper management of those ethical issues. Facebook, for its part, has a lot of systems internally that try to ensure its employees treat that data properly. For example, you cannot search for a specific person's data if you work at Facebook. All that information is kept autonomized for internal programmers. Yet the company hasn't done enough to ensure, as a corporation, not just as a group of people, that they are acting in a way that is long-term and sustainable. And I talked about Facebook today because it was one of the more dramatic changes that we saw with this new model waiting. But really, what the Facebook dilemma shows is while environmental and social issues are the body of the company, the way it can move and exist and grow, governance is ultimately the mind and the soul that gives that body life. And if that soul isn't doing enough to fix the negative impact that a company can have on, let's say, privacy or democracy or competition, then the body might seize and eventually be broken up. And we have to figure out a good way to assess that. All right, that's it for the week. I wanted to thank Andrew and Cyrus for joining me to discuss this week's news with an ESG twist. And I wanted to thank you so much for listening. If you like what you heard, don't forget to rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts, if it's on a phone, that is, because it really helps, and I really appreciate reading them. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Thanks again, and talk to you next week.
The MSCI ESG Research podcast is provided by MSCI Inc.'s subsidiary, MSCI ESG Research LLC, a registered investment advisor under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. And this recording and data mentioned herein has not been submitted to nor received approval from the United States Securities and Exchange Commission or any other regulatory body. The analysis discussed should not be taken as an indication or guarantee of any future performance, analysis, forecast, or prediction. The information contained in this recording is not for reproduction in whole or in part without prior written permission from MSCI ESG Research. None of the discussion or analysis put forth in this recording constitutes an offer to buy or sell or a promotion or recommendation of any security, financial instrument, or product or trading strategy. Further, none of the information is intended to constitute investment advice or recommendation to make or refrain from making any kind of investment decision and may not be relied on as such. The information provided here is as is, and the user of the information assumes the entire risk of any use it may make or permit to be made of the information. Thank you.